Good morning. This morning we want to talk about Daniel. We want to talk about Daniel. You know, the Bible is filled with many accounts of godly men and women who are worthy of our emulation. I love this song, More About Jesus. It was reminding me of a story a preacher told years ago. He said there was a little boy in Sunday school, and the teacher was asking the children, what swings from tree to tree and eats bananas? You guys, some of you guys sound like you heard this one before. And the little boy named Johnny, he said, Jesus. And so the teacher said it again. She says, what swings from tree to tree and eats bananas? And little Johnny said, Jesus. And of course, the other kid said, a monkey. And so the teacher was getting a little upset. So she went out to the auditorium to talk to Johnny's parents. And she got his parents out and asked Johnny the question again. Johnny, what swings from tree to tree and eats bananas? And Johnny said, Jesus. And Johnny's daddy was looking at him saying, boy, you know what the answer is. And he said, why you keep saying Jesus? He says, well, we're in Sunday school, and we should be talking about who? We should be talking about Jesus. We're going to talk about Daniel, but Daniel and Jesus are all in the Bible, amen? We're going to talk about Daniel, but we all do know that it's Jesus that died on the cross for our sins, amen? He died on the cross for our sins. He was buried, and he rose again on the third day, amen. This morning, we're going to talk about Jesus, but we're also going to talk about Daniel, amen. In our class this morning, we were talking about the Bible and how the Bible teaches. And in the Bible teaches us by way of example, amen. And we want to look at the example of the life of Daniel, just a little picture about Daniel. There's so much to study about Daniel, but for this time that I have this morning, I want to talk about how to enjoy successes without compromise. Successes without compromise is why I want to deal with Daniel. Daniel was such a man who obtained preeminence and power in his lifetime. He was a man that was a child when he came into Babylonian captivity, according to Daniel chapter 1. Daniel was very powerful, and he went from kingdom to kingdom. He was in the Babylonian kingdom. He was in the Medo-Persian kingdom, and he was just one that was up at the top of leadership that whole time as he was being in captivity. Because usually people think of a person that's in captivity that they would be at the bottom ring of things. But this man named Daniel was a man that was blessed of God. So let's talk this morning a little bit about this young man named Daniel. I believe he was probably about you guys' age. Y'all young people up here in the front, I think Daniel was somewhere in there. How old are you guys? About 13, 14, 15? You're 12. He's 12. A tall 12-year-old. Okay. So Daniel was young, just like these young people that we have here up front. Amen? And so, but the Bible tells us that Daniel was a man of purpose, or a young person of purpose. And let's turn our Bibles over to Daniel. Look at Daniel chapter 1, looking at verse 8. Let's turn our Bibles over there. We're going to get some Bible exercise this morning. Daniel chapter 1, verse 8. Daniel chapter 1, verse 8. I remember I used to be able to just turn to it really quick. That's when my fingers worked really well. They say you get older, then things kind of slow down. I guess that's the way it is. Or maybe I need to do those sprints again and race my kids or somebody. But look at Daniel chapter 1, verse 8. In Daniel chapter 1, verse 8, the Bible says, but Daniel made up his mind that he would not defile himself with the king's choice food or with the wine which he drank. Talking about the king, what he drank. So he sought permission from the commander of the officials that he might not defile himself. And I almost want to just stop there. But Daniel made up his mind. Amen. You know, sometimes people make a lot of excuses in their life, young people. They say, well, there's peer pressure. And then people go to college and they say, there's peer pressure. Then they go off and start a career. There's peer pressure. Then they retire and there's peer pressure. There's no peer pressure in heaven. But while we're on this earth, there is going to be peer pressure. There are going to be people that challenge your decisions. Amen. But young people, you've got to be like Daniel. Adults, you've got to be like Daniel. The Bible says he did what? But Daniel made up his what? See, sometimes we're so caught up in everybody else and making sure everybody else is taken care of. Sometimes we're nosy. Sometimes we're in everybody else's business when we need to make up our mind to do the right thing. Last year I was preaching a series, It's All About Me, in 2023. And I remember all the ahs and the oohs I received when I first started that series. But as people began to listen to the sermons that I was delivering about It's All About Me in 2023, it was asking the people as I was preaching to start looking at the person that's in the mirror. And Sarah helped me order these little bitty mirrors, I remember. It was those little bitty mirrors, this little gray mirror, little plastic mirrors. And the person was saying, I can't see my whole body. Because it's not about your whole body. It's not about your physicality. It's about the person that's in the mirror, the person that's behind the eyes. If you ever remembered sitting and talking with me, you would notice that I always look in your eyes because I'm trying to talk to the person that's inside the body. The Bible says that the eyes is the window to what? So when I'm talking to you, I'm not worried about what you're wearing. I don't care if you got stuff in your hair. I might say you got something in your hair, but I'm more concerned about your soul. And like my daddy used to say at the end of his letters, how is your relationship with the Lord? So we need to take personal responsibility for ourselves. We need to have a little talk with ourselves and make sure that we have, like this young man, Daniel, it says, but Daniel did what? He made up his mind. He made up his mind. But the thing is, you know, none of us have a problem with making up our minds, do we? Because all the things that we've made up our minds to do, we always do them. Amen? Now, you do have friends that go around saying, I'm going to do this and I'm going to do that. You know those people? Sometimes it's us. I'm going to do this. I'm going to go to church and I'm going to be on time and I'm going to do this or I'm going to do whatever. Whatever it is you're going to do. I'm not trying to put anybody down. Amen. But you know we've all been an I'm-o type of person. I'm going to do this and I'm going to do that. I know that's improper English, but you understand English, don't you? You understand it. You can decipher it. That's the beautiful thing about having a mind and knowing English. We can utilize English in all sorts of ways, and we still know what each other is talking about. Amen? That's beautiful. That's communication. But we all need to make up our minds to be like Daniel. Daniel made up his mind, the Bible says. It says, but Daniel made up his mind that he would defile himself with the king's choice food or with the wine which he drank. I don't hear anybody screaming. Solomon, that's not what it says. You don't have to scream. No need for that. No need for that. It says, but Daniel made up his mind that he would not defile himself with the king's choice food or with the wine which he drank. So he sought permission from the commander of the officials that he might not defile himself. Why did he think he would defile himself? Daniel belonged to God. Amen. When you belong to God, there are things that you don't involve yourself in because you've made up your mind to follow God. Sometimes people say, well, you need to babysit them. No, when a person's made up their mind, they don't need anybody to babysit them. Hello? You don't need anybody to babysit you. You're telling other people you need to make up your mind to follow God. You become a teacher. You're not just someone that barely, you're like, oh, maybe I'll do this, maybe I'll do this, and I'm going to do that. No, when you make up your mind to do something, everybody knows that you've made up your mind. The trillions of cells you have in your body know that you've decided to do something. Isn't that right? Some of you have trouble getting up. You're telling all them trillions that we got to get up, and you pull yourself up or you have somebody help you get up. You guys been there before? Remember when we used to just get up? We just get up. We decide to get up, and we just get up. I remember years ago a brother told me, he said, Solomon, there's going to come a time when you get up in the morning, you're going to have to wait. Y'all know what I'm talking about. You can decide all you want to. You're going to have to wait on that decision, amen? You have to wait to warm up. And I see some of you guys rub your knees. See, I'm trying to preach this morning. I want to communicate to you this morning that when we make up our mind to serve God, no one's got to babysit us. Amen? That's what we all need to be. Decide to be like Daniel. It doesn't matter what age, young people. It doesn't matter how old you are. When you decide to do something, everybody knows that you've decided to do something. When you decide to sleep in, when you hear your alarm going off, amen, and you're waking the person that gets up on time and they're like, oh, we got to go press snooze or turn that thing off. Well, I remember one time my alarm was going off. I was working at 3 o'clock in the morning at UPS, and I can remember my dad coming to the room, waking me up. Boy, your alarm's been going off all this time. You woke me up. And you guys know how big my dad was, but he was a big bear. He was a loving guy, but he could move me, though. He sure can move me. But the fact of the matter is that when we decide to do something, I mean, this is the biggest decision that we need to make in our lives, and that's to follow God. Amen? See, nobody has to tell you to study your Bible. Nobody's got to tell you to pray. Nobody's got to tell you anything when it comes to your relationship with God, because you have already decided. There is power in deciding, Mike, isn't it? Remember when we decided to become preachers? Our wives found out, didn't they? When we decided, no, I told my wife, I said, I'm going to be a preacher, so if you don't want to be with me, if you don't want to be a preacher's wife, you might as well keep going, because I'm going to be a preacher. I had already decided. I decided when I was 10 years old, I was going to be a preacher. I decided back then. And many people were saying, oh, I'll date you, Solomon, but I don't want to be a preacher's wife. I said, you might as well keep going because I've already decided. I had decided already. And many people here know when I decide, they know that it's final. I've decided already. Solomon said he was going to do it. Solomon's doing it. They know it. And that's the way all of us in here are. When you decide to do something, whether it's right or wrong, amen, whether it's right or wrong, you know why you're held accountable? Because God knows you decided to do it. You are responsible for your decision. You're held accountable. Why? Because you hold the power to what you do in your life, what you decide to do. That's why God is going to hold you responsible for the decision that you make. People say, oh, God is sending all these people to hell, or all these people are going to heaven. How do people get to heaven or hell? We decide. We decide if we're going to serve God or not. We decide. We make that decision. That's why we're held accountable. When it says committing sin, that means you committed to going in that direction. You decided to go away from God. Why did Adam and Eve get kicked out of the garden? Even though they were playing the blame game. They were playing the blame game. Oh, it was the serpent. Oh, it was the woman. It was the this and it was the that. No, it was you that decided to do that. All three of them were cast out. All three of them were cursed. Why? Because all three of them decided. It said the woman was deceived, but she still did what she was not supposed to do. The serpent beguiled the woman. He was responsible for that. Oh, the woman gave me the fruit. It's like sometimes men say, oh, my wife. I say, you need to stop that. Get away from me with that. Stop blaming your wife. Stop blaming other people for your behavior. I know I'm going to get everybody in here. I'm trying to get all of y'all this morning because I want you to understand your responsibility in having the ability to decide. Daniel decided. He was a slave in another country, but he still decided to do what God required of him. There's no excuse for not doing what God tells you to do. You can't blame mama, daddy, grandma, sister, brother, the dog, the cat, the mouse, the rat. You can't blame any of them. Everybody in here is accountable for your behavior. You know, people say, well, I was drunk or I was intoxicated. You know what the judge says? You're still responsible. You decided to drink. You decided to use drugs. You decided to do all of those things. It's no different in the kingdom of God. God holds you accountable for your decision. Ladies and gentlemen, brothers and sisters, boys and girls, amen? Excuses are just that, excuses. You made the decision. So there are consequences to your decision. Just like there was a story about an electric company. This girl, it was an older sister, and the little boy had the balloon. And he said, what's going to happen? See, my sister, look at that. What's going to happen if I pop the balloon? My little brother's going to scream. She's probably going to get in trouble. They didn't say that, but the balloon's going to pop and the brother's going to scream. Amen? There are consequences to our decisions. And we can't blame other people for our decisions. Because people say, well, I wasn't raised in the right house. I wasn't this and I wasn't that. And weren't you in your right mind? You decided. Everybody here, anybody here is not responsible for your decisions. Raise your hand. Stand up and shout. Okay. So I have a whole audience of people that are accountable for their decisions. Amen. See, I just stopped right there. Daniel 1:8. You guys need to memorize this scripture. Daniel 1:8. I'm going to read it one more time. But Daniel made up his mind that he would not defile himself with the king's choice food or with the wine which he drank. So he sought permission from the commander of the officials that he might not defile himself. Are you like Daniel, making sure that everything that God wants you to do, that you're making preparation to do it. Amen? Are you preparing yourself to meet God? The decision is up to you. The decision is up to you. The transportation is taken care of, whichever direction you want to go in. The provision is already laid out. God already knows which way we all are going. So you don't have to worry about Uber to heaven or Uber to hell. The transportation is already taken care of. You get to decide if you're going to follow God or not. Just like me. I get to decide, but I've decided already I'm going to heaven. I've already decided already. I've already checked the compared and everything. I was like, wow, you know, God, creator, Satan, created. It's pretty simple to me. I'm following the creator, amen, all the way to heaven, amen. The challenges of this life are nothing compared to the reward of glory that we're going to get in heaven, amen. Hell is not worth it. Young people, it ain't worth it. It ain't worth it. The fleeting pleasures of this life, chasing after all these things, you're always going to want it. The flesh is always wanting. You can never please this flesh, but you definitely can please God. Amen? And so I want to encourage all of you to think about your decisions. But this one decision that you need to make, and that decision is whether or not you're going to follow God. Whether or not you're going to follow God. Because that one decision is going to have an effect on your children, your grandchildren, if you don't have children, your nieces and nephews, everybody that comes after you. Because there was a two that made a decision a long time ago, Adam and Eve. And the effect of their decision has affected everybody, all right? So if you think that your decision doesn't mean anything, you need to think again. Your decision is very powerful. And I want to encourage you today, if you haven't decided to obey God, that you obey God today. That you stop making excuses about deciding to follow after God. The clock has been moving ever since I got up here. I didn't get the slide up to show you guys that clock that was just running out of control. But you know your time is going away. We are in the dash, as I say. You already been born. Now you're in the dash. You don't know when that dash is going to stop. All of us. Doesn't matter how fit you are. No matter if you can run faster than me, lift more weights than me. You're going to die. I'm going to die. The dash is going to end. But that decision to follow God will ensure that you have a home in heaven. Amen. See, if you got that in your briefcase, that's the best life policy you can have, is deciding to follow God. It's better than any insurance policy, any inheritance you can leave your children. Amen? Because it just goes on and on and on. And your kids know if you've been living right. Amen? They know if you decided to follow God. And after a while, everybody else know if you deciding to follow God. We do make mistakes here and there, but people know the real deal. Everybody knows who's following God and who's not. That's not up to me. I'm not monitoring you, because I'm monitoring myself to make sure my commitment to serve God continues on. Amen? And I say you need to do the same thing. I pray that this sermon has been eye-opening to you. And you know, the way that I'm going to know that you decided to follow God is that I see you in heaven. And that's where I'm going. I'm not going to sing that song, but that song that sometimes they sing at those funerals, I'm going up yonder. Y'all know that song? I don't know if you got that song. I don't know what song you got, but it's all right. Whatever song you've got, I'm going to sing it, amen? But the fact of the matter is, we need to decide to follow God today. If you need help studying the Bible and trying to understand how to do that, I'm your man. I'll help you. I can tell you how to get there. And there's many other people here that can help you as well. Whatever your need is, why don't you come forward as together we stand and sing the song that has been selected.